Yeah, quite a difference in weather. We're going from one extreme now to snow. And I find it interesting, Dave, calling you Santa Claus. You know, don't worry. Been there, done that, so it's happened before. So, well, this morning I'm going to want to look at a topic called Are You Drifting? And once we get into the sermon, you'll understand where I'm heading. We're going to talk about drifting in our Christian lives. And I'm going to begin with a true story that took place, a tragic event that resulted from drifting. Now, how many of you guys have gone fishing on a boat? Most of us have a big boat, little boat, canoe, or whatever. We've been out on the water. The story is about two young men fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. They were concentrating so much on catching fish, they forgot to take notice of where they were heading. And when they did finally realize it, that they drifted too far, and they were too close to the edge of the dam. They tried to get the motor to get away from there, but the motor wasn't strong enough. And over they went. And down below the bottom of the dam, the water, of course, we know is very strong, a lot of force there. There's boulders down below, and there was crevices, and that's where the boat landed, and all this debris. They never came to the surface. One young man was found within a couple hours. The other one was about 3 days later. Quite a tragic event, but it does happen in real life. But did you know it also happens in our Christian lives as well? That we can drift and cause some real serious problems. In Hebrews 2, verse 1 is where I want to look at this morning. We find a warning against drifting spiritually. It says these words, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it." And Father, as we go into your word today, open our hearts and our minds to this whole topic of drifting. Father, help us to realize that we can, as Christians, drift away from you as well. And our lives may not ever be the same again. So open our hearts and our minds, in thy name, amen. So the question I'm going to ask, start right off the bat, are you drifting? Are you drifting? Are you? Do you know it? Do you know if you're drifting? Or would you know it if you're drifting? So what I'm going to do with this sermon this morning is I just want to stimulate your thinking, that you'd open your hearts and your minds, and for you to examine your Christian life in regards to the danger of drifting away from your Savior and your Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says in the latter times, some will abandon the faith. That means that something took place prior to that abandonment. There was a place where somebody began to drift away from their Father, Heavenly Father. So I want to consider some things we should know about drifting. First thing is, drifting requires no effort. How many of you have gone out in the water and just shut the boat off and no motor? How many? Done it? Yes, many of us have done it. And what does the boat do? Just kind of drifts aimlessly. And that same thing is true for every Christian, which is why we are told we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. And the words are very interesting. The words listen very carefully and drift away are actual nautical terms. Careful attention or listen very carefully means to moor a ship. And drift away means a ship which was carelessly allowed to slip past a harbor or a haven. They allowed the wind and the currents to take the boat away. And I can tell you right now from personal experience, my father was a shipwright. I grew up in the shipyards of Vancouver. And there were many times when the boats came in from the sea, they brought them in. There was a lot of damage because somebody forgot where they were and allowed their boats to drift. Big boats, not just little ones that we just get into and putter around. I mean massive ones. And the damage was unbelievable to see and the repairs that took place. And if we consider all that, this verse can be translated, you must anchor your life securely to the truths. And what are the truths? Where are they found? Where? In here? In this book? Precious book. That you have been taught in God's word, or you will, like a ship, will drift past the harbor and be wrecked. So drifting is an unconscious process, and it's possible to drift unaware. In a boat, undercurrents are often unnoticed from the surface, and at times can suck the boat and occupants far from their destination. You know why I said that? It's happened to me. I've done that as well. Gone out on the water, gone fishing, kind of just let it drift, and then I realize all there is water all the way around. Where is land? I got sucked out because I wasn't paying attention. I did eventually find my way back. It took a little while where I was. Even tides will suck a boat onto rocks, causing serious damage to a boat and sometimes even death to those that are in the boat. Seen that happen as well. Rip tides can also take you way out to sea. Like I said, I grew up on the West Coast. I grew up with water. Second nature. And we were always told to be careful when we go swimming out on the ocean or out in the sea, because out in a certain spot, that's where a riptide would take place and would take us farther out into the water. Even in a plane, the wind or gravitational forces move the plane without realizing it. Now, it's been a while probably since some of us have been on an airplane. Remember the last time you were on one? Some of us like, no. Before they take off, what do they do? Faith, what do they tell you to do? The stewardess show up and they tell you the directions of what? How to buckle your seatbelt? The exits are over here. How to use the oxygen mask in case something happens when you're way up in the air. Everybody hears, but how many people actually pay close attention to those instructions? Ever sat and watched? People are always reading a book. Or they're playing on their laptop, not even paying attention to what's going on, because no one is thinking, well, there's no real danger involved. Doesn't interest me. I can tell you the story that from Kathy and I, we took a red-eye flight. We came out of Nicaragua from working into Dallas. We took a red-eye flight from Houston to Calgary. We went over the Great Plains of the States, and we're above the clouds, and you can look down, and you can actually see the top of the tornadoes. In the clouds, you can see the swirls. We were buckled in. That plane was dropping just like, you know what fell from the ceiling? The masts. Pieces of the ceiling came down as we were flying. I tell you, it was white knuckle all the way to Calgary. We made it. We made it all right. But I think after that, a lot of the passengers started paying attention to where everything was. And the same is true in the spiritual world. Many Christians have slowly drifted away. Some of us have grown up in the church, heard God's word for many years, but have drifted into worldly things, unbiblical teachings, and lifestyles. No guarantee. We drift away slowly. Many churches have gradually drifted into error, and that happens today. We see it all around us, many churches. Small undercurrents of drifting unawares will always lead to the day we find ourselves far removed from God's word and God himself. And we never drift upstream or against the tide. You ever notice that? When you're fishing, especially on a stream or a river, what always floats downstream? Live fish or dead fish? A dead fish, right? Very rarely a live fish is floating down the river. So we never drift upstream or against the tide. See, faithfulness in Jesus is like rowing. We must constantly add to our faith continuously. In 2 Peter 1:5, it says, we must constantly add to our faith such as goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, which equals effectiveness and productiveness in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we add these to our lives, the result is no drifting. And the rowing process, that's a lot of work. How many of you have ever rowed a boat? Canoe or anything like that? It's pretty tough work, isn't it? But you know what? That produces spiritual growth. If we add these things, do these things that God has asked us to in His Word. And we must continue to grow spiritually. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen. See, when we are growing, we are maturing. And when we're following Him, we're getting stronger spiritually. And we're obeying God's Word and living according to His Word. Do you think we'll drift? If God's Word is number one in our lives, will we drift away from God? I don't think so. I don't think so. However, the moment we stop rowing, and stop obeying God, and stop reading His Word, developing a relationship with Him, you know, we're going to start drifting away. And it happens pretty quick. Another thing we need to know, the speed downstream always what? Increases, doesn't it? Always goes faster, never slows. The danger increases with the speed of the drift. And when we can hear the roar of the waterfall or the rapids, it's already too late. When we lose sight of land, like I said, when you lose sight of land, what can you see? Nothing. It's difficult to discern that we are drifting. Like one of the worst times I had with drifting was I went out and, like I said, shut the motor off and fishing away, paid more attention, and then the fog rolled in. That was the worst. It took me about 3 hours to figure out where I was and finally get back to shore. It's pretty frightening. You see, as we move farther and farther from Jesus, we care less and less about what we actually do. In fact, we become controlled by our impulses. We just do things right now. Our habits, our emotions, our feelings, our desires, and our opinions drifting away. The farther we go, the faster our falling away goes. Drifting is dangerous to others. A boat that is drifting on the open water is hazardous and in danger to all other boats and vessels on the water. I just want to read a portion of Scripture from Isaiah 43, it says, but you are witnesses, old Israel, says the Lord, and you are my servant. You have been chosen to know me. Believe in me. Understand that I alone am God, and there is no other God. There never has been and never will be. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. Israel's calling was to be a witness to the world around them of who God was and what He can do for them. They were their witness to the world. But we know from Scripture and history, they failed miserably. At times, they drifted far from God. In fact, Scripture even tells us there were times where they actually locked the temple up because they weren't using it anymore. They had drifted that far away. As Christians today, we share the same responsibility of being Jesus' witnesses. What did Jesus say in Acts 1:8? You shall be what? My witnesses. We are to be His witnesses. But if we are drifting, people will not know what Jesus is like. Will they? Because they cannot see Him reflected in us. The farther we get away, they will never see Jesus in us. So listen carefully. It's no secret your drifting affects those who are close to you. Their lives are decided by the external influences that surround them. And if we're drifting about in all directions, and if we do not correct our lives, what could take place? Well, we could end up in shipwreck. A boat adrift can be crushed on the rocks, can be beached or go through rapids or over a waterfall. And for most of us, the threat in our life is not that we plunge into sinfulness, but that we drift into it slowly. And I've seen that happening a lot today in many of our churches and many of the Christian lives today. I've seen many Christians drifting away. Psalms 1:1 says, "All the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners are joined with scoffers." Notice the progression here. Follow. So something has caught the attention. It says, stand around. Now we're taking a closer look at what is happening, drifting farther and farther away. And then, of course, it says, join. That means now we have been got involved in whatever is going on. We drifted farther away. It's a progress and the steps. And for most of us, the threat in our lives is not that we will plunge into sinfulness, but that we'll drift into it unknowingly. And very few of us would deliberately in a single moment turn our backs on God. However, there's many of us who day by day drift further and further away from Him. And there are not many of us in one moment will commit some disastrous sin. However, there are many of us who will gradually involve ourselves in some situation, and suddenly the light comes on and we find out we have shipwrecked our lives and the lives of others. I remember a friend I went to Bible college with, a wonderful man of God. But I don't know what took place or what happened in his life, but he slowly started drifting away from his Lord and Savior. And he was at a church, and he had an affair. That didn't take place immediately. It had already started way back and drifted and just destroyed his ministry, destroyed his family's life, destroyed everything. Yes, the danger of drifting is really, or there will be no need to warn you against it. In fact, even Scripture says it. Are you drifting? Are you drifting? Well, to help answer the question, here are some common signs of drifting. It's kind of what I'm going to look at now. First one, of course, is diminishing desire to study God's Word and prayer. God's Word is a unique book, a source of information for life not found anywhere else in any book. How often I thought about this one, too, as when my children were born. Someone said to me, he says, well, they're not born with the manual. And I thought about it, and I thought, is this not the manual to raise our children? Is God's Word? It's not a manual for us to live as well every day. This is the manual we're to live by. Without God's Word, how can we truly know who we are? Where we came from? Genesis tells us that God created us, right? The Bible tells us our purpose in life, tells us our destiny. Where will we spend eternity? And God also tells us of the sin, deceitful consequences, and how God saves us from sin. God's words provides direction for a satisfied life. What did we look at last week? Anybody remember? Remember the three C's? Too bad I didn't give you a test today, huh? First one's contentment, companionship, and courage, right? Those are the three C's to satisfied life in Christ. Happy life and useful life. In fact, in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the person who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They're like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. And I think if we're not drifting, we'll take delight in God's Word. Are you delighted when you spend time with your Heavenly Father reading His Word? That's His voice to you and to me. When we read, He's talking to us. Do you meditate on God's Word? Do you? You sit down and sometimes think over, well, what does that really mean? You know that God's Word is an anchor for your life? Gives you counsel of how to live, how to work, how to act. But when we lose our desire to study God's Word, and it just becomes some book on our shelf, I believe we are drifting away from our Savior. And prayer is a wonderful blessing. It's an avenue so that we can communicate with our Heavenly Father. How many of you guys take time to pray in a day? Do you spend time with it? You know, we're supposed to pray continuously. That doesn't mean we're supposed to be on our knees all the time, but we're supposed to be in an attitude of praying all the time, always praying. See, Jesus is our example. He loved his Father. On earth, he prayed. We find in the Gospels, we find that Jesus prayed early in the morning. He prayed while it was still dark. He prayed in solitary places. He even prayed on a mountainside. Wherever you are, you have the opportunity just to pray while you're working. Jesus also expresses concern that we, his disciples, not grow weary, but we're to pray and not give up. It's to be a continuous part of our Christian life. But I think as Christians, as we pray less and less, I think that means that we're drifting more and more away from our Savior. Another common sign is a diminishing desire to be with God's people. This includes even attending the services to worship and gather with each one of us. We must always have the attitude of this psalm. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Are you rejoicing that you're here this morning? Are you excited to be here? We come here as brothers and sisters in the presence of our Heavenly Father. He is here with us at this moment. But I think if we just kind of don't come, we become absent more and more. I think we're drifting farther and farther away. And fellowship with the body of Christ extends beyond the church building. We are to be concerned with edifying one another, not only as we gather, but also when we're out and about our daily lives. In Romans 14:19, it says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." And over in Hebrews it says, "But encourage one another daily." We got a lot of things that we can do today to encourage each other. All of us got iPads and little iPhones. It'd be nice to say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you, praying for you." Send it. That may encourage somebody. As long as called today, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So encouragement, edification are to be a daily activity in our lives. We're to reach out to each other. Why is that? Why are you to reach out? Are you guaranteed tomorrow? How many of you are actually guaranteed to have tomorrow? None of us are. One passage helps us too is in Ecclesiastes. It says, "Two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. On a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other. How can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easy to break." So the reason to gather, edify, keep in contact, it makes us stronger. The reason for gathering, there are many reasons. The workload is shared. Think about all of us here. The work of presenting the gospel, doing the business of the church, it's not just on one person, it's on all of us. There's helpfulness. There's watchfulness. There's accountability. And as the passage that we just read, there's strength in numbers. There's closeness, there's encouragement, edification, all takes place. But if we're not gathering, and if we're skipping out, spending weeks and weeks away from the church family and brothers and sisters in Christ, we begin to drift. There begins a wandering away from the things of God. And we as Christians prefer the fellowship of the world rather than the fellowship of Christians. We are drifting slowly away to destruction. I think another sign of drifting is a diminishing desire to share the gospel. How many of you shared the gospel recently to somebody? Yep, some people have put their hands up. It should be continually every day in our lives that we find the opportunity to share the gospel of Christ. When we obey the gospel and sharing it, we know God has cleansed us from our sins, made us a new creation. That should drive us to have a desire to share our salvation with our neighbors and our friends. But I think when we don't have a desire to bring the salvation message to those that need it, especially in the time that we live in, I think we're drifting slowly. And one more sign is an increasing desire for the things of this world. The Apostle John warns us against the love of the world and the things in the world. 1 John 2 says, "Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers you only the lust for physical pleasure, the lust for everything we see, and the pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father, they are from this evil world." So we're told not to love this world. But the more we love this world and enjoy the pleasures of it, I think we reach the point where we are drifting farther away from our Savior. Such are the signs of drifting away from God. Just some of them. There's more. Now I just wanted to look at some remedies against drifting. First one is to keep rowing. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence, which means to keep adding these qualities to our life. I'm going to go back to the verse I talked about in 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort. That word means to be eager to add these things to your faith. You can't add to them if you have no desire for them. Add to your faith goodness. That's courage to stand firm. And to goodness, knowledge. That's common sense applied to everyday life with biblical principles. And to knowledge, self-control. That's a balanced life. And to self-control, perseverance. That's another word for patience. How many of you got patience? You sure you got it? Some? Yeah, some of us have a little. Until something gets under our skin and then it's your teeth is pretty quick. And to perseverance, godliness. That's a right attitude toward God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And that is bearing one another's burdens, encouraging each other, edifying each other. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you do these things, you will never fall or drift away. And watch out for the undercurrents. There are so many things out there today to cause us to drift away. We must always be on our guard. For the undercurrents of temptation, sin, they're always out there. Always. We need to be awake. And for us Christians, we all know we have an earthly nature still here, which wars against us. And 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." Then over in Galatians 5:16 through 18, it says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit which is contrary to the sinful nature. And they are in conflict with each other. So that you do not do what you want." What a struggle, eh? All of us. "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. When the Spirit is in control, we will not drift." Expect to go against the tide. Expect to go against it. There are many tides of worldliness that will sweep us away. Some of them are popularity. Some of us want to be very popular. We want the praise of others. There's modernism, humanism, liberalism, and worldliness. These things are all sneaking into the church. Neglect, indifference, lack of concern and interest. We drift along with the tide, then our earthly nature will take over, and we will certainly drift away from our Heavenly Father. And of course, we must have a strong anchor. And all of us know that when we're out in a boat, you have an anchor, right? Now, if you've got a little 14-foot aluminum boat, you don't put a freighter anchor on it, correct? And if you've got a freighter, you don't put a little putt-putt boat anchor on that as well. The boat is all, the anchor is designed for the boat and for the occupants that are in there, the way they average it out. So that boat is held in place. So we must have a strong anchor. That is, be rooted and grounded in Christ and in His Word. Colossians 2:6 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with what? Thankfulness." We're to be rooted into God's Word, anchored. And second, our minds must be anchored in the truth as well. In Ephesians 4, it says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, and that is Christ." We're to be anchored in the truth. And of course, we must possess an unshakable faith, an unshakable hope as well in Christ. That's what Hebrews says. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, which is firm, is secure. When our lives are secure in Christ, you ain't going to drift. You're not going to drift. And fourth, we must be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. We find this in Ephesians 3. "I pray that out of His goodness, glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the Father's love." I think many of you remember that little song we sing, "How great, how big, how strong is our God." We serve a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father. So, are you drifting? Are you drifting? No. But I want you to know the danger is real. And it can happen to any one of us. And are there signs of drifting in your life today? Are there signs? Maybe you need to take time to examine your life today. Find out if you are drifting. Maybe you are. Here's some questions to ask yourself. Is my desire to study God's Word and praying diminishing? How many of you spend quality time in His Word? I know you guys are busy. I'm busy too. But do you find time to be in His Word? You can always put the little earbuds in, you know. Put scripture on and let somebody talk it to you while you're working. Is my desire to be with God's people, or is my desire to be with the people of the world? Have I lost my desire to speak to those who are lost, my family, my friends, my neighbors? And am I awestruck by the pleasures of the world? Questions we need to ask to examine ourselves. Yes, let's take heed today the warnings found in Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. We must pay what? Careful attention to what we have heard, so that what? We do not drift away. Father, we just thank you for your word. Sometimes it's hard to hear, but sometimes we need to hear it. And this sermon is not only for those here this morning, it's also for me too. Are there times I drift away? Father, I just thank you that your word always reminds me that you're always watching out for us. So, Father, open our hearts and our minds that we examine our lives to know, are we drifting or not? In thy name, amen.